I think my entire career, especially since I've started getting into my own business and leaving the corporate world, has been built on doing things outside the norm and kind of challenging whatever assumptions were out there.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Small Steps, Big Wins podcast. And my guest today is Patrick Menefee. Patrick left his comfortable W-2 in 2020 to pursue what he thought would be his next calling, only to admit that it was more like a shiny object. He talks about his path in the community that he surrounded himself with and how they eventually got him to where he is today in his coaching business. We take a deep dive into what coaching is, who it's for, and how to maximize the experience. Make sure you stick around to the end to find out what you can do today that's going to change your tomorrow. So without further ado, my conversation with Patrick Menefee. Enjoy. Hey, Patrick, I'm glad you're here. Are you ready for us to add some value to someone's life today? Let's do this. I want you to talk about leaving your W-2, and then we're going to go into your coaching business because I'm really excited to learn about that. So
yeah, so I worked in my W-2. I was in the financial industry. I worked as a consultant for a couple of years after I left the Army, and then I ended up working for one of my clients for a little bit before jumping into real estate full time. And that was kind of the start. I started in corporate America right after the Army when I think I was 29 years old. And I had this right around my 30th birthday, I did a lot of kind of self-reflection and evaluation, trying to figure out where I was going, what I wanted to be doing, all of that kind of stuff. I was single at the time. I just moved to North Carolina. I didn't really know anybody and was getting started in a new career. So it was kind of, you know, everything was wide open at that point. And I'd been successful in the Army, was successful in my corporate career so far, but wanted to do something else. So I dove really, really hard into personal development and I started reading books. The first book that I read was The Slight Edge. A lot of people haven't heard of it. It's kind of like The Compound Effect. It's very similar principles. So I started getting my habits right and started doing a lot of that stuff, and then ended up, long story short, jumping into real estate the following year. And I initially thought...
What kind of real estate?
I bought a single family with a VA loan and walked away from the closing table with a check, which was cool. My thought at the time was I'm going to live there for a year and then I'm going to move out. I'm going to go use the VA loan again. I'm going to go buy another one. I'll rent out this one. And I was just kind of going to snowball primary residences for 10 years. And then about 3 months into that, I realized how slow that was and that wasn't going to work. And I wanted to go a lot faster. There was one conversation that I had with someone that was really kind of a meaningless conversation, but it really meant a lot to me and showed that these guys aren't anything special. They took action. They bought properties. Why can't I do the same? So I left that event, and a month later I had 10 units under contract and closed. They were small multifamily. One was a 4-unit, one was a 6-unit. And I closed them within a week of each other in September of that year. That was 2019. All of this, I was still working in consulting at the time. So I was traveling 4 days a week. I'd fly out Monday morning, fly back Thursday night. And so I was building this either from hotels or on my limited weekend time at home. And so I ramped that up over the course of the next 10 months, really. I picked up 21 doors and then 2 flips after that. And about 13 months after I bought my first property was when I realized that's when I said goodbye and walked away from the bank that I was working at that time. So.
Wow. That's an awesome story and so many doors in such a short amount of time. I mean, that's a story for another podcast. The questions going through my mind are, how in heaven's name did you do that fast and scale that up? And I'm sure that's, like I said, that's a conversation for another time, but congratulations to you. That's awesome. That actually allowed you some of the financial freedom to be able to walk.
Yeah. Away. And that's one thing that I think is one major turning point that I had was when I had these 21 units, but a lot of them I bought with partners. And so I didn't, when I left my job, I certainly did not have the cash flow to replace my income. I was making a 6-figure salary, had a very comfortable job, but we can get into this more later too, but my approach was more based on, A, I need to cover my expenses. I don't need to replace my income. If I can cover my expenses, now I am at the base level financially free. You can always add to that, but it's almost like it's a seesaw where you're walking along and you're continuing to increase your income. And the tipping point isn't when you get your income to exceed your current income. your tipping point is when you can, A, you can sustain it through some other forms of income. And we'll talk about that later too. But B, it's where also the time required. You can either increase the amount of income that you make in your business by leaving your W-2 and freeing up all that time, or you stick around in the W-2 and now this, your passive income doesn't really grow as much because you can't dedicate enough time to it. So that scale where it tips over is a really big turning point. Usually we don't think about that. We just think about how do we build enough passive income to get there?
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know, a lot of us don't think about that. It's like, oh, we want to leave our W-2. And if I'm making $10,000 a month on my W-2, I've got to replace it with $10,000 a month worth of passive income. And that's not the way the game is played. It's really just making sure your four walls are covered, which you did. And you, for most of us, that number should be less than what our income is, right? So if it's not, then that's a whole other ballpark. That's a whole other issue there. But you know, for most of us, if that 10,000 is coming in and you only need 4,000 to live and you've got this extra 6,000 to invest, then you're right. There's a time trade-off. If you're working a 40-hour week and you're trying to build something up, it's going to go a lot slower. So it might actually be better to cover your expenses, like you said you did, and then ramp up going after your passion. So you've had your W-2, you were leaving your W-2. Yeah, continue the story.
A lot of unknown. I was very excited when I left, but since I didn't have the income I didn't have the passive income to fully replace even my expenses. My approach was I would use a combination of a couple $1,000s in cash flow per month, plus I was flipping houses. So I knew that by like my criteria ultimately came down to I had an active source of income to make up that gap. And then I had a reserve account that was basically my runway that I would fill that up for 9 months. And then every time I did a flip, I would refill that runway some more. And so every flip, I knew that I had a deal that was under contract to sell when I left my job. So that was where I kept going. My focus was then on, rather than creating cash flow every single month, my focus was, I think my gap was around $3,000 to $4,000 a month. So over the course of 6 months, mm-hmm. I need to put, say, $24,000 into this account. So can I generate $24,000 in 6 months? I do a flip that nets $30,000. Perfect. That covers it and gives me some extra money to invest.
Yeah.
So that became my focus for the first probably a little over a year, was just generating flipping income and doing flips as much as I could. And then after that, I decided my business and entrepreneurial side kicked in. I was like, you know what? I can make this passive. I can make flipping. Like, I'm doing a good enough job flipping these properties and we've got a good team now. I can turn this into a passive income source. I'll just automate all of it. I'll put people in place. Okay. That wasn't really the best idea in the world, especially because I didn't actually enjoy flipping that much. I like the results of it and the fruits of it, but
the process of flipping can be very challenging because there's a lot of unknowns that go with buying a property and then turning it over to contractors and allowing them to take control of things. And, you know, I'm sure the unknown, the unexpected came in there that made it not as
fun. Yeah. And there's a time, you know, one was just dealing with problems with contractors. And luckily I eventually worked through that well enough that I had a good team of contractors, but there's plenty of that headache along the way. But then also the other side of it is when my approach was, if I'm going to create this company, I need to own everything from end to end. So I'm going to also focus on the marketing, which means that I need to build out a marketing team. I need to go direct to seller. I need to be sourcing the leads myself rather than all the other deals that I'd done. I'd pretty much the majority of them I'd sourced from wholesalers. And so if I could do all that again, I wouldn't bother with the marketing because what the irony of all of it, and there's plenty of lessons in here, but when I just flipped houses and focused on making income from flipping houses, I made really good money. When I focused on making a house flipping business, I didn't flip any houses because all of our focus was on marketing and I tried to force the wrong system with the wrong people and it didn't work. And so we ended up getting two deals in the course of 4 or 5 months. And it cost a ton of money to keep the overhead going and to pay the team. And I didn't make any money as a result. So to go back to your question of what's been the last couple of years since then, I quit in October, 2020. I flipped basically just doing my own flips that I found from other people through all of 2021 for the most part. And then I started hiring people beginning of last year, really built out the team and went all in on building the company. And then ended up a year ago in either May or June of last year, 2022, I shut that down and tried to figure out a different direction. And that
timing, actually.
Really good timing. Good. And that was, since then, I ended up buying a business. Yeah. And then more recently, put my primary focus into coaching, like you mentioned.
You got lawn care, you got coaching. That's okay. I mean, a lot of entrepreneurs I found have more than one, they've got their hand in more than one thing. So it's not
So here's one thing that I found really interesting is last year, if you take a look at the last 12 months, if you didn't know anything else about me, that was you could call it a shiny object period of my life where I was trying different things. But really, and I think when we listen to a lot of people talk right now about shiny object syndrome, like, yeah, there is definitely the idea of chasing the shiniest thing is not good. That'll keep you from getting focused on something. But if you don't have something that you're focused on, there's nothing, in my opinion, there's nothing wrong with experimenting. I knew that flipping wasn't where I wanted to go anymore, but I didn't know where exactly I was going to go next. So I tried different things. I bought an 18 unit apartment last year. So I initially thought, okay, by leaving flipping, the natural process is I'll go into apartments. Then started going that route, realized I didn't want to do that. Then I found...
What about the apartments that caused you to realize that that wasn't for you?
Part of it was the timing of the market. It was last summer 2022. So as rates were rising, it was a tougher environment.
Okay.
And then part of it was I was just kind of burnt out on real estate. I just didn't really want to do it anymore. I still had my portfolio, which I since then have sold off almost all of it. And
oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you about
that. I very much focus on return on equity a lot. And so I had a lot of equity in these deals. Mm-hmm. The only way that I got the 21 doors in my first 10 or 11 months was because I made every dollar stretch as far as possible. But a lot of times, like what I realized afterwards was we always focus on the cash when we put it in and we want to have a really good, really strong cash on cash return, but we don't treat equity the same way. And so we have equity that can be converted into cash.
Just for anybody listening, could you quick explain what you mean by equity?
So the difference between what your property is worth and what you owe. And so the equity is, and then you can increase that through forced appreciation by doing renovations, increasing the value, stuff like that. And then it also grows through the market. So I had both in some of these properties where my cash on cash return, the return on the cash flow that I got every month compared to the cash that I put into the deals was astronomical because I didn't put a lot of money in. But when you compare that to the amount of equity that I had in the deal, I went from, 20, in some cases, 50%+ cash on cash return simply because I didn't put much money in at all to I had like a 5 or 6% return on my equity. So in my mind, if you can take that 5 or 6% and reinvest that and get another 15-20%, you're losing a lot of money if you don't reinvest the equity. So that's why I sold a bunch of it, was a combination of that. I had equity that wasn't getting put to use, and it ties into that with why I didn't go into multifamily too, because I was just kind of tired of real estate overall.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, because there's people out there listening. It's like, oh, real estate is the way to go, but real estate isn't for everybody, or certain aspects of real estate isn't for everybody. If you're not cut out to be a multifamily investor, then that's okay. So I'm glad you're sharing that story, because it's okay. You've now realized what you don't want. You took what was those shiny objects, but realized they weren't objects for you. And some people will go after shiny objects and they might thrive in that, and glad they went off after it in the first place. So shiny objects, I can see, they say stay away from them. But sometimes if you're not quite sure, that picking up that shiny object might not be a bad thing, because there's always lessons in no matter what you do, whether you fail at it or whether you're really good at it, there's always something you can learn from it. So,
yeah, absolutely. And if there's not, if you don't have one thing that you actually truly care about doing, there's a lot to be said for picking something and committing to it. But also if the thing that you pick and you start to commit to, you realize isn't the right thing, like me with flipping, part of the reason that I almost didn't leave the flipping business that I knew wasn't going well and was really putting me in a bad spot was because the idea of leaving that business meant that I was quitting. And that was a really big hurdle to get past. Like I was quitting on the team that I had hired. I was quitting on myself because I had made commitments. And also, I can't be the guy that has shiny object syndrome. I can't go chase a bunch of other stuff. Like I said, I'm going to do this. I got to pick this. Yeah. But it was the wrong thing to pick.
Did you feel like you were a failure at that then by walking away from the flipping?
I got a lot of help from my coach, Aaron Velke. That was, and the Emerge community, the Gabundance Emerge community. That was a huge part of it. I had there was a conference last April 2022 down in Miami, and that was, that really shook me loose in a lot of ways.
What was one thing that you walked away from that conference with that reshaped your mindset?
There were so many things.
Oh, you can't. I was just ready to say, we went to one this past April. Yeah, right. You can't just walk away with one thing when you go to a conference like that, a mastermind conference, when you're around 40 or 50 other entrepreneurs that think like you do, and that you go through 48 hours of constant challenge of your way of thinking.
Yeah, for sure.
In a good way.
Yeah, and this one was, the one that we went to in Miami last year was a lot, it was different in the fact that it was almost like a group coaching session, very deep group coaching for 4 days, 3.5 days. And it was, I mean, we went really, really, really deep to the point where there's a bunch of dudes sitting there crying about their past and regrets and about things that they're working through. And I think to answer your question on the big takeaways, that I can't say one because there were, I had millions of pages worth, but
three
big things stuck with me. One was on the first night, I had one of the coaches named Ian. He came up to me and said, I was asking a question about impact and about something with my flipping company because I hadn't made the decision to stop it yet. And he just looks at me out of the blue. I'd never met the guy before in person in my life. I've been on one or two calls with him. And he just looks at me and he's like, what the F are you doing flipping houses? How is that helping anybody? And I was like, nice to meet you. But it got me thinking a lot. Yeah.
Damn,
yeah,
you're right.
So I spent a lot of time, like that was a kick that like it was the car hitting the train that derailed it. Like that was exactly what I needed as a starting point. And then there was a lot of stuff related to like a lot of things that I'd allowed. Both of my parents have passed away, and there was a lot of things around there that have been, that held me back. And something that I don't know how many people ever also deal with this, but I'm sitting in the room with a bunch of people who a lot of people's problems are based around the things that their parents did that were negative. And my parents were phenomenal. My problem was that they were gone. And so that is a very different conversation. And that's like, there's almost that imposter syndrome of like, well, I can't complain about my parents because I had amazing parents and yours messed you up pretty bad. And there was a lot of working through my own kind of guilt and regret and some stuff around there. So that was another big thing that was totally unexpected from the weekend. And then the third thing was, the whole focus of the weekend was on future self and bringing the things that you want in the future, bringing them into right now and not having like impact is one thing. Don't wait until you're successful to have the impact that you want to have. How do you start doing that right now? How do you start helping people in your everyday life? And that's part of where now 9, 12, however many months later, that's where I feel like I have aligned those very well with coaching, which is exciting. But that weekend was enormously transformational to kind of kick me loose and move me down in a different direction.
You know, I realized while you were talking, what I appreciate about your conversation is that you have clarity. When I asked you the question, you knew those three things and then went through each of them with clarity. How do you, I am guessing you bring that into your coaching as well when you coach clients, yes? And now I'm getting ahead of you. but I just wanted to capture that a moment because I've just noticed that I ask you a question and you just exactly go right to it. And, you know, you don't beat around the bush to find the answer. So let's continue. So you went to this mastermind last year, got blown away, realized flipping is not your wheelhouse. That was okay. So what happened next in life? So obviously you're starting to slow down the flipping business. When did coaching come into play for you? And how did you know that was your path?
It came into play actually because I was sharing on social media about, I started coaching with the guys that were leading that event, Aaron and Ian. And so I was sharing a lot on social media about the coaching that I was receiving and the benefit of it and the power of it. And I had a guy that I had sold a deal to, he reached out to me and asked if I was coaching. And I said, no, I was just talking about some of the guys that are helping me out. And he's like, well, would you coach me? I was like, sure. I don't know what that means, but sure. So we kind of, I started.
Nothing like ready, fire, aim. Huh?
And that we just kind of, you know, I didn't have any type of very clear picture of where I was going with him, but he had a similar background. He was a fellow veteran. He was working in the financial industry. He was starting in real estate. Like, he was basically me 2 years prior. So I started taking him down a lot of the lessons that I learned and helping him kind of think about the decision points and think about things in a different way. And so as I started doing that, that was probably July of last year. And I didn't really ever think about making it much deeper of a thing. I went through a lot of, I continued looking for what I wanted to do between multifamily, buying the lawn care company, thinking I was going to do even more business acquisition at the time. And I just honestly, at the end of last year, beginning of this year, usually you go into the new year and you're rejuvenated and excited about your goals for the year. And I was just lost. I had no idea what I wanted to be doing. I was very frustrated. I was frustrated with the lawn care company. I was frustrated with, the multifamily deal that I had. We had it was an 18 unit property. We had within 2 months, 8 different HVAC units go out. I had another property that's the worst deal I've ever done that I couldn't get sold. I just had all of this stuff that was weighing on me, and I didn't enjoy anything that I was doing. And I was super frustrated. And I had one night that I decided that I'd like to pursue a couple more coaching clients, but I didn't have any thought about making that a full-time thing. And then as I started doing this really deep self-reflection and wondering why the hell I was just not happy with where I was and what I was, you know, I'd been working with my coach this whole time too. And we had done a ton of work together. And I started realizing the common themes were in everything that I've done ever since college. Even I've coached people, I've mentored people, I've helped. In college, we had a instructor that wasn't very good. And so I basically, as a student from the year prior, took over for him and taught our ROTC program. And it was weird. But that was like, I've done that my entire career. And so as I started thinking more about that and realizing that was more of where I belonged and where I was meant to be, realized that I could actually do something more with it and wanted to make that the focus.
When that realization came to you, did you feel more like, was there an internal mental shift where you felt more at peace with that decision, or maybe different on the inside versus how you felt when you were pursuing flipping, or when you thought about real estate, or you thought about the lawn care business that you had?
I talked to my coach a lot about the value of having an impact and about doing something meaningful. And the thing that I struggled with flipping, with apartments, with lawn care, like, they're sure, they do good for people. They give someone the time, you know, cutting someone's grass means that they have the time to pursue something else that they want to. Like, I can make those connections and see the second and third order effects that are good from cutting someone's grass. But at the end of the day, it's cutting someone's grass. It's a commoditized thing that Johnny down the street can go buy a lawnmower and do what our company does. Coaching, the impact is direct. The transformation is immediate. Not necessarily immediate, but you can see unfolding in front of you as you're having the conversation, the light bulb go off, or you can see changes and you can see different directions. And that is, it's so much more fulfilling to me than anything else that I've been doing.
Yeah, you make an interesting point about coaching, in that when you coach people, you've got that moment, or you can see it in their eyes when they have that aha moment. And as you were explaining that, the same is true for teachers as well. So I have a background in teaching, and some of the most satisfying moments that I had when I taught was when I was teaching the lower level students. And I would teach a particular concept. They didn't get it at first. Then I would explain it a different way. And then they would have that aha moment. So teaching and coaching, as you talk more about it, I'm starting to see the parallelism between the two professions on how both of them are designed to help people. Both of them have direct impact
Well.
So I appreciate you sharing that. So talk a little bit about why someone would want to pursue coaching. And then if you want to talk about what you do in particular as a coach.
Yeah, I think there's two different ways that people are looking for something. And my experience is very different, I feel like, in relation to my current coach, because that weekend we went really deep. I didn't know him going into the weekend, and we went really deep. And so from day one, I wanted that from him. I wanted to continue pursuing purpose and pursuing intentionality and pursuing really deep topics to make myself better. That doesn't happen with everybody, because most people that need that type of help don't know that that's what they need, or if they, that's not what they want to talk about. So there's also a technical side that kind of helps build trust as well, but is kind of the immediate thing to start working on. So that's where I work with people right now, is people that want to do basically in some way, shape or form what I've done, want to leave their job, want to create the opportunity to leave their job. They don't necessarily have to, but they want to create some type of freedom and flexibility, and then help them figure out why. Because I think a lot of times what I found, even just with the clients that I've had, is we've got this picture of what we think we're supposed to do and what we think the right thing is. And in a lot of cases, like you said before, like real estate isn't for everybody. A lot of times people just think, because Brandon Turner does really well in real estate and is very well known, that I've got to do real estate. And then everybody says there's no bad time to be in the market. Yeah. Like, yes, there is. If you have a short-term time horizon, there's absolutely a bad time to be in the market. So what I like to work with people is, let's find out what your goals are. Also, I'm going to challenge you on understanding if your goals are, like, why your goals are your goals. Because a lot of times their goals simply because we're running away from something, and that's something that sounds cool, or that's something that we heard someone else did, but I actually don't know what that entails and I don't want anything to do with that. As opposed to, I'm pursuing this mm-hmm. because it is what I want to pursue, and here's the reasons why. And like, I had a coaching client that from the very start, he didn't like his job. So he wanted anything that would help him leave his job. So he was looking at buying and building a franchise from the ground up that was going to take over a year to generate revenue. And he was going to buy himself a job that he doing things that he didn't like doing at his current job. But because it was a path away from where he was and what he didn't like, it sounded good at first. And then after working through some of that stuff, realized that it didn't align with anything that he wanted. But a lot of times people don't ask the deeper question and understand, why am I pursuing the thing that I'm pursuing? Because we just see that immediate target.
Yeah. So it sounds like part of what you do in your coaching is that you ask a person targeted questions and then be that objective voice that sometimes we can't hear in our heads, right? You know, because if we're left to ourselves and we let our mind just jabber, sometimes you can't tell if it's an objective comment or not.
Yeah.
So through coaching, you be that sounding board of reason in their life to help them see that if the path they're going on is the right one, or to help them realize, hey, wait a minute, you know, it sounded like it made sense in your brain, but let me give you another perspective on that, that maybe that's not what
absolutely.
You really want to do.
And you can, I mean, and this kind of goes back to the, when you said that I had a lot of clarity on answering your question about the event last year, I think part of it is like, it's hearing the things that aren't actually being said, or hearing a question and saying, well, that's, I'm going to adjust that question a little bit. And is that the right question? Because a lot of times, if no one's asking you these questions about why, you're kind of, especially a lot of people that are working a corporate job, they're not surrounded by people like we are in the Emerge community. You don't have a mastermind of people. You've got people that are not intentionally trying to pull you down, but you've got people that they don't know anything outside of what they're doing. And so when you share that you're trying to create a business and you're trying to leave your job, and they look at you and you're like, they're like, you make $150,000 a year. Why do you want to leave this? You're on a trajectory to be a really good, I don't know, whatever's really good in the corporate world. That's the trajectory you're on. Why would you ever want to leave that? And so they challenge it, and they don't have anyone on the flip side saying like, no, this is absolutely where you need to go, or you're absolutely going in the right direction. However, let's just figure out how you can make sure that you're pursuing the right thing, and not just running away from where you're going. And that power to evaluate and be able to dig deeper, and because it takes two, it takes both sides of it. It takes someone to ask the question, and also takes the other, it takes the person to be able to introspectively take the questions that I and other coaches ask and say, oh yeah, this makes me uncomfortable, but I'm actually going the wrong direction.
Like you said, to your point, when you're in the corporate world or wherever you're at, it's a closed community. Everybody's just thinking the same way. And when you get into a mastermind group, whether it's the Emerge community, which is part of Abundance, or whether you get into some other mastermind group, there are these people out there that think differently, that don't think like the mainstream. Sometimes you hear them called the one percenters, you know, what's driving them on the inside. And I can probably say with confidence that the Emerge community has helped shape you, who you are, where you're going, gave you that clarity along with your coaching and allow you to do what you're doing today, which is what you love.
For sure. So. Yeah. I mean, I definitely wouldn't be where I am at this moment without that community. The coaches that I have, the people that I've learned the most from, the relationships that have been the most valuable have all come from that community. Aside from my wife, that's a pretty important relationship that didn't come from that community, but that's,
that's okay.
But that's what's interesting from talking now, because I've been so immersed in this and being around people that are like-minded for the past couple of years that it's hard to remember what it was like before then. But now talking to some of my clients that are on the starting point of this and they're trying to break through, what I've also kind of learned is that people will put unnecessary strain and pressure on existing relationships like family or other people when if I don't have anyone else in my community besides my immediate family and they don't like what I do or they don't understand what I do, now all of a sudden that relationship, I need them to understand what I do because I need them to understand me. And if they don't understand me, then there's a disconnect there because I need someone to understand me and I don't have anybody else. But if you've got that community, it can fill that void.
Do you help your clients work through that? And as they're walking through that, like if they encounter that situation where their spouse or their, their family, immediate family members think they're sabotaging their path or going down this wrong road, why would you want to quit your job? Do you help them walk through that?
Yeah. I mean, I certainly don't get into marriage counseling or anything like that. I'm not qualified for that, but the short answer is yes, but it's ultimately it's through gaining confidence and clarity in where you're going. And so that creates the attitude. And that's why I think that last point that I was making about having the community, if I know that I can go to my pod that we have in the GoBundance community, that core group of people, if I can go to those guys and I can share with them and I know that they're going to support me and challenge me, but I know if I have some crazy wazoo idea, that's where I can go, then I don't need to put that on someone else that's always going to react negatively to it. So now I don't need to worry as much about the strain on that relationship. I can accept that they don't necessarily understand, and I scratch that itch elsewhere. But if you don't have that elsewhere, and that's what I end up talking to them a lot about, is get other people around you that can help you and support you through that. You no longer have to look for that from your family or from whoever it is that's pushing back on you. And then also you can just show them, gain the confidence, clarity in where you're going, show them the work that you're doing. Eventually they'll take you seriously. But a lot of times it's just because it's new and they haven't seen it proven out yet. So don't bother verbally sparring, just show them.
You bring up some good points too. It's put the reps in, start getting some wins in there, and then surround yourself with people that can actually help walk you through. Don't surround yourself with the people that are negative.
Yeah.
It's really helpful when you have people around you that believe in what you're doing.
I think my entire career, especially since I've started getting into my own business and leaving the corporate world, has been built on doing things outside the norm and kind of challenging whatever assumptions were out there. And so like we talked about before with the approach to leaving and not having to think about replacing my income, but replacing expenses, and not thinking about all of it having to be passive, but a combination of passive and active. I think what that's led me to personally is there is no singular right answer. And we saw this in Austin last month. There were four wildly successful people that were on stage in front of us, and they all contradicted each other at some point. And that is evidence that there's no singular right way to go about being successful. It's all dependent on the person. And so I think that is the benefit and some of the value that I bring that is a little bit different is it's really digging into that. It's digging into the, how is this right for you? What is it about it that's right for you versus sure this made, again, going back to real estate, real estate made a ton of people a lot of money. Does that mean it's the right thing for you? Or are you pursuing something just for the sake of pursuing what's already out there and you don't know any better? Same thing with, business acquisition is really popular right now too. And I did it. I understand it's also not the right answer for everyone. And so digging in and helping create that clarity that you brought up before and ask the questions and hear the connecting answers that they don't hear and they don't see. I think that's a part that I've always gotten feedback on that adds a ton of value to people.
You have a lot of life experiences behind you with a lot of, you know, a lot of experience behind you, but a lot of mistakes too. Yeah. But you know what? You can help somebody else fast track too through the mistakes. I mean, isn't that really at the end of the day, that's how we all bring value to one another, is just, you know, looking at somebody and say, hey, I see the path you're going down. I screwed up that path. Let me tell you what not to do. And that's the value of community as well. You know, that you can just, you have that knowledge that you can impart on somebody, and you had the financial background, you've bought a business, you know, you have that business now, you created a coaching business, you knew real estate wasn't right for you. So you have a lot to offer a client when they come to you, because you have all these experiences that you bring into it. And I think if anybody is listening and they fall into any of those buckets, you know, you could be very relatable to them as a coach. Talk a little bit about your actual coaching. What somebody considering you for coach?
Yeah, I start with just anywhere between 30 and 60 minute call to just kind of see if it's a fit and figure out where you're going. And a lot of times just starting in that first call is kind of breaking some assumptions and breaking some molds and asking different questions. And so really the goal of that is just kind of see where the person is at, where they're trying to go, and if it makes sense for them to get help along that way, and if it's a good fit for the two of us. And then if that's the case, we jump into primarily week by week for either 3 or 6 months at a time. And
if anybody's considering, they can go to your website, right?
PatrickMenefee.com.
Check out some more information. PatrickMenefee.com. I'll have those in the notes below.
Thank you.
Sure. And it's actually, it will also be on my website as well. So when people go to my guest page on my website and they click on it and they find your name and then they hover over and click on you know, it'll take them right to your website. So just another way to find you. So anything else you want to share about coaching that you would like to share? I think one thing that we need to keep in mind, that if you're not the right coach for somebody, they can find somebody else, but you know, that coaching doesn't all fall under one bucket.
Yeah, for sure. And there's some that's very technical. There's some that's very oriented on specific, like I'm going to teach you the nuts and bolts of this business. There, like you said, there's a million different ways. The other thing that you said a few minutes ago that is something that ultimately changed my life a couple of years ago was I'm a hard-headed person that usually learns through my own failures and mistakes. And I usually do a pretty damn good job of, I learn from them and I don't make the same mistakes again. But that is a really, really, really slow and also really painful way to grow. And if you have to make every mistake before you learn and you change and you adjust, that's a really long path. And that's fine. If that's a route that someone wants to go, that is perfectly fine. That's the path that I was going down. But I realized back in 2021, I think it was, after a while, I was like, look, I make plenty of mistakes. I'm getting really good at making mistakes and learning from them. Also, I want to start learning faster, and I want to start learning from other people that have made it past where I am. And that was when I hired my first coach, and it wasn't the best fit in the world just based on he was a lot more technical and sales related, and I didn't need something specifically sales related at the moment, but that got me in the habit and got me into it. And that, the community, something like GoBundance, like we're talking about, and Emerge, and if you look at some of the most successful people, they've got coaches in a variety of different areas. And there's just so much benefit that comes from having someone. So like you said, I would obviously love to work with people. Also at the same time, I don't care. At the end of the day, go work with someone that is going to be a good fit for you, because the power that can come from gaining someone else's perspective. And if you think about if you get a coach like my coach, who has 18 clients right now, plus he does retreats and he's been doing this for 9 years, that is, not only does he have the experience of the businesses that he's built, he's got the experiences of all the clients that he's helped through all the problems that they've had. So you go from having this very narrow bit of knowledge that's based on the fact that you tried and failed something, and now you take someone that's got their own experiences and failures, plus 40 other people, that they can pour all of that into you based on your experience. And it accelerated my life significantly. And I can say without a doubt that I wouldn't be in the position that I am with the satisfaction that I have in my career and in my life if it hadn't been for working every single week with a coach for the past year. So,
well, thanks for sharing that. I actually want to just highlight what you were saying, that, you know, it's okay to move on if it's not a good fit for you, because if you have a coach that's not a good fit, moving on is actually good for you and for sure. them. Because if you're not getting that benefit, it's not going to accelerate your growth the way that you want to. So I think that's good to bring that up, because I think people could struggle with failure or saying to themselves, oh, well, I hired this coach and, you know, I've got to make this.
Yeah. And that's a really good reminder and perspective too, that just because it comes from a coach doesn't mean it's what you should be doing. That coaches, and you can replace coaching with any name there. I mean, a personal trainer is a coach. There's also a mentor, a counselor, a therapist. Like, they're all different forms of coach. And coach right now, I don't even love using the word a lot of times, because it gets a kind of a bad rap, because there's so many gurus that jump in and they take money from people and don't really help. But that it's just something to be aware of, is there's this bias and this tendency towards, I am paying this person. And as a result, that means that they, and also in a lot of ways, they usually give some pretty good insight and good feedback. So as a result, I need to implement everything that they say. In some cases, if it's not the best fit for you, and if it doesn't feel right, like, there's, when you get in that space, there's definitely that challenge of like, okay, I am being challenged. And so there's, sometimes it's the question of, is this just me resisting it because I'm uncomfortable doing the thing that they're pushing me to do? Or am I uncomfortable with this because it's the wrong thing? And so you've got to, like, a coach isn't a teacher. It's not like a math teacher where there is one answer to the question and they're helping you figure out how to find that one answer. There is no singular answer. They're trying to help you broaden and ask the right questions ultimately. So
I'm smiling and laughing because I was a math teacher. And yes, you can have, you know, you can take a problem and come to one singular answer. But what I have learned over the years is that there is more than one way to get to the correct answer. And how I teach it the first way, it's not always the right way for that particular person to learn. But really, what you're really saying is that at the end of the day, your function, your purpose is to help somebody see the challenges in front of them, help them to work through them. But really, ultimately, it's the client's decision. They have to use their own discernment. They have to use what feels right for them in order to move forward and come to a decision. So it's a very subtle delineation there, but I think it's one worth noting, that the purpose of coaching isn't to go to someone to have them make decisions for you if you are indecisive. The purpose of coaching is to, you want to fill in the blank? is to help somebody come to their own conclusion, even if it's what your suggesting they should do. Yeah. Right? So you can suggest them to do something, but ultimately either they're going to take your suggestion or they're not.
So absolutely. Asking, ultimately it's helping. In a lot of cases, you're holding up a mirror for someone and you're saying, like, okay, you keep talking about how you want to create X, Y, and Z for yourself. Also, every time we come on into a conversation, you've got a new shiny object that you're pursuing. Which one is right? This is what you're saying. This is what you're doing. This is what you've said in 17 different ways over the past 2 months. You probably don't catch yourself saying that, but I do. And my coach, I can't count how many times my coach has done that for me. Aaron's like, that's exactly, like, in different language, that's exactly what you said 3 months ago and you haven't moved from there. I was like, oh shit, you're right. Thank you. But that's like, it's someone, and he's used that example with me a million times. Like, you're holding up a mirror. And sometimes you need someone to hold up the mirror to see what you're doing and then help you make the right decision for yourself.
Yeah. And sometimes you need somebody to hold your hand with you as you walk across the rickety bridge.
And sometimes you need someone to beat you over the head.
So there's multiple facets. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. It's coaching all together, you know, hold my hand, show me a mirror, and then whack me with the 2x4 when I need it. It's a beautiful thing. As we're getting ready to wind down here, is there anything else that you wanted to talk about that I didn't either ask or we have an opportunity to?
I could talk about a million different things.
That's a good coach, by the way.
There's one thing that I'll, that I'll add, and this kind of goes back to more of the leaving your W-2 and financial freedom type conversation, and ties into real estate. But when you think about why, I think heavily about why you're doing what you're doing. But part of what I realized for me was that I was pursuing wealth as opposed to pursuing what I needed to pursue at the time, which was income. Like I didn't have the consistent monthly income. So having a bunch of wealth didn't do any good. And so a lot of times we get into real estate and we get into these and we're excited to hold up our one sheet or our balance sheet and say like, look at my net worth. Look how much it's grown over the past couple of years. But you can't pay your bills with that. You got to pay your bills with income that's coming in or with cash of some sort. So I spent a lot of time building up my real estate portfolio and cycling equity like we talked about to maximize my return. And at the end of the day, by doing all of that, I've never had consistent cash flow. And now I'm taking a pause and I'm adjusting and I'm understanding that my net worth is going to, in some cases, take a hit and in some cases, slow down over the next little bit of time. Like my focus is instead on building up income, both passive and active income, and understanding what phase you're in, because in some cases you're in a phase of just building capital. Whatever phase you're in, they all end up building wealth in some way, shape, or form. But usually we just focus on, I'm going to hold on to this asset for a long time because that's a smart long-term thing to do. And you got to know what your targets are in the near term, kind of like we talked about before. Like there, if you have a shorter term time horizon or if you have limited capital, like, yeah, there is absolutely a right or wrong time to be in the market. So you got to understand what your goal, and that ties into everything that we've talked about, but you've got to understand what your goals are and your reasons for doing what you're doing in order to make the best decision in that space too.
Yeah, they're all really good points, because as it goes back to what we were talking about, real estate isn't for everybody. Owning a business isn't for everybody. And part of coaching helps people figure out where their, you know, where their trajectory should be. So, and you make some really good points about the, especially about the income side too. And to ask that deep question, why? What's one book you'd recommend?
Oh, there's so many that I've read recently that have been really good.
Oh, sorry.
No, I love it. One of my favorites is, well, we've talked about GoBundance a lot, so I've got to say Tribe of Millionaires. Tribe of Millionaires is an excellent book as far as community and the importance of accountability and all that kind of stuff. That's one. The book that I mentioned at the beginning, The Slight Edge, you can also read Darren Hardy's Compound Effect, either one. But that idea of consistent habits and basically the premise, the little things that you do on it, like the difference between success and failure isn't one major event, it's the little habits. And that was a game-changing book for me. So those are phenomenal. And then recently one that kind of hit me out of nowhere was, it's got a weird name, The Eagle That Drank Hummingbird Nectar. I think that's what it is. But that was it's kind of a parable, kind of like Tribe of Millionaires and kind of like The Rich Man in Babylon. But it tells a story that really, really hones in on identity and understanding who you are. So really good book.
Okay. I'll put all those on my website.
I always have a hard time when someone says a book, because I'm reading like four at a time usually.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Maybe I have to narrow the question down to like, you know, what's your favorite, I don't know, identity shaping book, or, you know, what's your favorite growth book, or, you know, what's your favorite, you know, leisure reading book? I don't know.
It's a lot of options.
I have to refine that question. Yeah, there are. Yeah, there are some. Although I have to say, some guests come on and they're like, bam, that book, that changed my life. A lot of them, it's the Kiyosaki book,
okay.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yeah, that makes
quite
sense.
Quite a few. They're like, yep, I read that book, changed my life. So as we come even closer to a close from your story, what's something that anyone could do today that would help them change their tomorrow? What advice do you want to leave us with?
I mean, it feels kind of cheap to go back to something that we've talked about a bunch, but community. It's absolutely getting around people that are going to help you, challenge you, support you, ask questions, get around other people that are doing similar things to what you're doing. And don't be afraid to be in that room. Because there's a lot of people, everyone that you look at that is successful, they've got something that they're struggling with. They're no better of a person than you, and you deserve to be in the room with them. So surround yourself with people that are doing something that you want to be doing. Surround yourself with people that have already done what you're doing, and it makes an enormous difference.
I agree 100%. Joining Emerge changed my life back in October, and I'm so grateful, and I don't regret it one bit. And yeah. I know you feel the same way from your story as well. Patrick, thank you so much for your time. I am 100% convinced that our conversation today added value to whoever was listening. If people want to reach out to you, what are some ways?
Yeah, the two best ways are my website, we mentioned it before, patrickmenefee.com, and then Instagram, the Patrick Menefee. Also, if you know who has just normal Patrick Menefee, I want it, but the Patrick Menefee on Instagram.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you again for your time. I really appreciate
it. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Thank you very much.
I want to thank you for watching or listening to my podcast. I value your time with me because I realize you could be listening to someone else right now. And I also want you to know that I now offer coaching and consulting. So if you're thinking about creating a course but not sure how to structure it, or you have a small step you need to take to lead to a big result but you're not sure what the in-between looks like, check out my website at www.suesaller.com for more information and to request a free consultation. Remember, life doesn't get better by chance. It gets better by choice. Take small steps and make today awesome, friends. God bless.